The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are those of Kevin Jordan or his guests. These gardening tips and suggestions may work for you, as well as those from alternative sources. When using any garden products or tools, read and follow all label directions. And learn how to make your yard summer strong at bewatersmart.info.
The Green Acres Garden Podcast is the podcast dedicated to helping gardeners hone their growing skills while we celebrate our love of plants. So whether you're new to growing or a seasoned gardener, you're sure to learn something new. Join the fun as we have conversations with world-class growers, passionate green thumbs, and professional garden experts from Green Acres Nursery and Supply. Listen every week. We'll answer questions you didn't know you had. Ho, 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 your gardens. Welcome, everybody. So glad you could make it, one and all. Thank you so much for tuning in to the Green Acres Garden Podcast. Of course, I am your happy host, Kevin Jordan, probably the luckiest gardener around, back in studio. And today's episode is something special. Of course, we got Austin Blank on audio. Say hi, Austin.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the show.
But due to an idea, a little brainchild of Austin's, I was like, hey, let's bring in another person into the studio. So, of course, we got a third person for the first time ever in studio, and, of course, none other than Julie, the Buttercup Barber. How's it going there, Julie?
It is going great. Thank you so much for having me. This is the best.
Well, this is going to be a great episode, and let's see how far we can go without having to do a hard edit. let's do our best. Julie Barber, of course, is from Our Water, Our World. And, Julie, for those listeners who maybe haven't been introduced yet to you, tell us a little bit about Our Water, Our World, and what is your hopes and dreams?
So what I do is I'm hired by cities and counties, and I go wherever pesticides are being sold, and I work with the staff, how you read the label, how you recommend the right product, and give them advice on how they can help their customers keep the problem from coming back, all with the goal of keeping pesticides out of the water and having plants and soils be incredibly healthy.
I like that. Healthy plants, healthy soils. Clean water. I mean, what's not to love?
Yeah, Our Water, Our World came up even in last week's interview.
It certainly did. And they had nice things to say about you, which is good, which we appreciate. So before we carry on, I've had something that I've wanted to share with our listeners for a while now. This is actually going to be a really fun episode. But before we get into it, this is something I've been holding this burden on a little bit. I didn't know how to talk about this or share it with people. So let me just tell you a little story. I'm going to tell you a story about just an amazing person, a very beautiful, beautiful woman. She was born Kathleen Walters, fell in love, became Kathleen Jordan, and then became my mom. And back in October, we lost my mom suddenly, which stinks. It's the worst thing I've ever dealt with. And for anybody who's dealing with loss, my heart goes out to you. I know it's super tough. But I just want to say that I love my mom. She has been just an amazing person to grow up with, and I'm so thankful that I got to be her son. And that alone to me is just priceless. So it's been a hard couple of months, but to me, working with Austin and getting to meet all these incredible people that who also love plants and growing and gardening, it's been awesome. And so it's been a great, great way to recuperate and rejuvenate. And so with my mom in mind, I will just continue to push forward. And she is where my love of plants and cultivating and gardening has begun. And it will certainly not end with her. And so I will carry her with every breath I take, and her love will stay with me forever. But with that in mind, I don't want to bum everybody out. I know that was really tough.
No, thank you for sharing that, Kevin. Yeah.
But I got some good news.
What you got?
Tell us.
So my wife's pregnant.
Yes!
So I've been growing a lot. I've been planting a lot and growing a lot, but it's not just been plants.
Humans, too.
Humans as well. And so I have a son. We have a son at home, a 2.5-year-old. We love him very much, and he loves to garden and grow. And my wife is pregnant, and she is due hopefully in April.
Wow.
But I've got one more thing to add, Austin.
Oh, my gosh. There's more.
Can't take it. Go ahead.
It's twins.
Oh!
So, like I said, we lost my mom, and that was terrible, but we're gaining two twins who will carry us forward, and I'm just super stoked and very happy. So, like I said, I'm just the happiest, luckiest gardener around. It's been a really amazing year, and it's kind of fun to be in studio with two people that I care about very much, and to talk plants and gardening and growing and kind of reflect back on what we've gone through, and hopefully look forward to an awesome year out in the garden. I think for people that are... if you're cultivating plants, there's always hope for a good day, a better day. happy, you know, with every seed creates just multiple endless opportunities. And that's what we're going to do. And hopefully this next year, I think, will lead to hopefully limitless, wonderful possibilities for all of us. And so I wish you all just a wonderful, I hope your holidays were great. And the new year, I think, will be even better.
Wow. That is beautiful. Thank you so much, Kevin. That optimism is beautiful. And
the gardener way.
I love to debrief. So we should definitely debrief the year. But I mean, you're right. This show has been such a great thing for me too, and I know for you, that consistency, that we can always rely on each other and count on each other to be here, and we can have fun. It's just such a positive thing in my life. So I also really appreciate it. Thanks for sharing all that. And it's good to have people like you, Julie, join us in on the fun and share your knowledge. So
thank you.
Thank you for being here in studio. This is the first time we've done this. It's really cool. Thanks for being here.
I'm in the clubhouse, the boys' clubhouse.
And you're the first. You are the first.
Oh, wait. We let her in.
That's right.
No.
No girls allowed. No, of course. All are allowed here in the clubhouse.
So, you know, debriefing, that's what I call it. I love to do that after any big event in my life, any big, even the productions I do at school. I love to have a debrief with the people, and we talk about the good, the bad, and the ugly, and go over it all, you know, because that helps me. First, it's just kind of fun, but also it's a learning opportunity.
It's the best way to learn and kind of, I guess, improve upon your art there and what you're doing. I love
it. So thinking back on the year of all the great topics and guests and shows we've done, what stands out to you, Kevin? What comes to mind?
Like I said, I'm the luckiest gardener. I get to meet people every single week, scientists, garden gurus, farmers, ranchers, enthusiasts, professionals. It's been such a great year. I mean, we went from getting to talk with someone who grew the world's hottest pepper,
Ed Curry,
to then going back and talking to him a little bit more where he broke his own record.
So I actually have a clip from your interview with Ed Curry queued up.
Oh, well,
I'm glad you brought that up because I was so surprised at what you did when you interviewed Ed Curry. Can you believe this, Julie? This guy brings a pepper just so he can eat it and torture himself in the middle of the interview.
Okay.
Well, I always see
it. Would you ever do that?
Well, he did.
Because Kevin, he brought you a pepper.
He did. And if you look on the Green Acres website, I think on Facebook or Green Acres, there's a picture of me just dying.
From eating a pepper he brought
it
you?
It was exciting.
You did eat one with me. Yeah,
I did.
A little touch of his hot sauce.
Yeah, I touched it to a napkin and then touched the napkin to my tongue, and I didn't feel that section of my face for hours.
Oh,
well, you made it back. You're alive and well.
Yeah.
I mean, all's well here.
Well, check out what Kevin did. He's doing like the reverse hot ones, where like hot ones, you make the guest eat hot peppers and then answer tough questions.
Okay.
He's doing his own version where he makes himself suffer and then tries to interview somebody.
I like it. I think we could do that more often.
Here's a clip from you with Ed Curry. Here we go.
Yes. So you broke the Scoville scale. I think when you said you guys kind of marked it at the low end, the low water mark of what you probably had for your Carolina Reaper, what, one and a half million?
1.642 million is the low.
Wow.
And now Pepper X has almost doubled that.
That's pepper crazy. Ever. For Guinness and for the earth, all of us earthlings. I have here a Serrano pepper, a humble little, and it's what, 10, 15, 20,000?
Somewhere between 10 and 20,000.
I'm going to take a little bite in honor of you, Ed.
Take a big bite.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
Take a big bite.
I ate the whole thing.
Okay, good.
Okay. I'm feeling it. My cheeks are
I ate a little bite, too.
Your cheeks are turning a little red.
Yeah.
We've got to start airing the video. This is the best part.
I can do it, but it's hot. I can only imagine.
I was hurting for sure.
He chokes on it.
Reaper must
what
be insane.
What a flower you are,
Kevin.
I could
not imagine.
It is.
But you know what?
What?
It was worth it. It was so good.
It's kind of like trying to show off for your big brother or something. That's kind of how I felt with Ed.
He wasn't impressed.
Yeah, he's like, that's pretty good, but you should just eat the whole thing. So I was going to just take a little nip off the tip.
You said this. I haven't seen it, but you said that he, in his interviews, eats Carolina Reapers.
Oh, yeah. He'll eat them.
Snacks them.
He'll eat the whole thing. Pretty solid. And people are always like, wow, like, aren't you freaking out like me? He's like, yeah, it's hot.
He hides it.
I think
it.
He just emotionally has done it enough that he's like, no, it's still hot. I'm just ready for it.
Do you remember his advice? I don't know, Julie, if you know this, but when you eat something really hot, Ed Curry's advice was not to have water, no milk, nothing like that. Do you know what he said?
Was it beer?
No beer. What? He just said wait.
Just time. It's all
time.
He said because everybody gets sick, they drink so much water, they'll pound a gallon of milk, and then they puke or whatever.
But he also told you in the interview to swirl a little water around in your mouth and then spit it out. And that might – I think that's probably the best advice. Like it could be milk or whatever you do, but spit some of that out to get it out of your mouth.
Just don't drink it down. Yeah, he said people fill up their stomach trying to, coat their tongue. And it's just –
I'm starting to regret being in the clubhouse.
No. Don't leave yet, Julie. Stay, please. Actually, last time you were on the show, you've been on our show quite a bit. I haven't counted them all up. It's a treat every time. And funny enough, last time we were recording, we were doing a studio recap of your interview. Okay. And Kevin, I think, accidentally said something about you being in the studio. So it's so interesting and fortuitous that now you're actually here.
Yes.
Made it.
Finally.
Check out this clip.
All right.
This is cool.
Glad to be here and glad to talk plants with you all. We got a great one this week. Another returning guest, Julie Barber, the Buttercup Barbarian of the Garden of Our Water, Our World, is in studio. Not in studio. Damn it. Okay.
Bleep. Wait.
Yeah. Oh, that was a blooper.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, Austin.
I wanted to share your
the past of gardening, the present, and maybe potentially where we might go. So, seeing how the sausage is made.
I'm gonna bleep that, but it's funny to show that we mess up sometimes. We edit it out, but we drop a lot of F-bombs here in the studio, so beware, Julie.
Yeah.
All right,
Fungus.
Right?
Frigeria, all the F-bombs.
Just two F-bombs, yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
But yeah, there might be weird peppers that we eat. We might drop profane language inappropriately, but it's all in good fun. So,
yes. Oh, yeah.
So don't run away, Julie.
Oh, another F-word, fun.
Yes, fun. The best one.
You know, when I think about the show, honestly, that's the first word that comes to mind. I feel like if we're not having fun,
what are we doing?
It's not worth it. Nobody's going to learn anything. I mean, do you have fun when you join us?
Oh, it's the best. It's funny because actually the whole week was kind of iffy for me and I'm dragging myself and I got here and I was a completely different person.
You always bring so much lightheartedness to our interviews. I mean, you always have so much facts and information. You always school us up, but I think that your energy and your attitude are what shine above all else.
Thank you.
And we really appreciate that.
Thank you.
Because like Austin brought up, fun is the word, but it's like if we're not having fun and we're not while we're learning, then it's what's the whole point?
Right.
How can you enjoy that? Gardening, growing plants, everyone does it, I think, for their own specific reasons and separate reasons. But if it's not inspiring you to maybe have a little more joy in your life, whatever that may be to you, it's like, what are we doing here? Come on, people.
You know, one of my favorite things too, I don't know if I've shared this, is now I've been hooked up with some Green Acres merch, right? I've got a couple shirts and a hat.
Oh, yeah.
I've got two hats, actually. I love wearing them around town. And it's so fun that people will stop me and ask me about Green Acres. There's a lot of love for the company. Thankfully, we work for a place that people love and enjoy. It's a good company, family owned. But they want to talk plants with me, everyday people on the street. Does that ever happen to you guys?
Well, a little bit.
For sure for me, because I'll be repping it and I'll see people, I'm picking up a burrito or whatever. They go, oh, I like that Green Acres. Like, oh, really? Oh, here's my card and let's talk plants. there's people out there and the plant people that I've noticed is there is no type of person that loves plants. It's everybody.
Yeah.
You're different ages. I mean, you never know who you're going to run into who just absolutely loves plants. I have some new students that got added to my roster just a couple weeks ago. These nice young students, and a student comes in, and I never know what to expect. Each student I have is always unique, and this student comes in, points up at a plant, goes, hey, that's a nice Monstera you got there.
Hello.
Ooh. I was like, what? And it was our Monstera Deliciosas, the beautiful big leaves are fully fenestrated, there's like a big shield with holes in it. They're like, they're so perfect right now. And the student's like, yeah, I love that. I'm going to steal that from you, and just laughs. And I'm like, you don't got to steal it. You just work for it. I'll give it to you. But it was cool. It was the first student I've had in a long time who could know a name by a plant by name. And I was like, yeah. Oh, I love that. So I'm excited.
Wow.
It's been a good couple of weeks is just getting the new blood in the system for our school program. It's phenomenal. I was at that farm and rancher conference a while back, met a farmer rancher. They were not even from our region. Guys, he lives down, I think he's a rancher down in Modesto. And he's like, oh yeah, Green Acres. He's like, every time we head up to Sacramento area, he's like, my wife makes me go into that Elk Grove store. He's like, I never leave there with any money in my pocket. He's like, she loves it. He's like, so we do a lot of our shopping there. I'm like, oh wow, a farmer going into it and shopping at the nursery.
That's right.
It's super cool. And so it's a great, great way to meet people. Just throw that hat on.
Yeah.
And you're going to, although whenever I go in, I'll be shopping for myself.
Work there, right?
And I'll have the cap on and then people start asking me questions.
Yes.
And so now I kind
of. At least you can answer them, because when they ask me, I have no idea half the time.
Yeah. Well, hey, you're getting there.
I'm getting there too. Yeah.
But no, it's fun. I the community around gardening and plants, I mean,
well, Julie,
it's
you used
killer.
To work there. What was it like for you working there?
Full time, on your feet, running.
That's good for you, right?
The people, the people that came in to Green Acres, they're not like everybody else. They know what they want. They've heard something. They want to find out more. They want to know why this worked, why that didn't work. What should I do? What kind of plant should I get? You never had to work at getting the information out of people. They were ready to tell you.
Come in with their bag with a leaf with some bugs on it.
Absolutely, which was always the best. The professionals always knew that. Bring in a sample. And we always had a microscope there.
Oh, yeah. Zoom it in.
Zoom it in, because sometimes you can't tell what it is with your eyeball, but you can tell what it is with that. And they were always just ready to find out what they needed to do, what would make a difference, what was going to make it bigger and better.
Wow. So you actually operated that little microscope thing?
Yeah. But I didn't turn the knobs a whole lot.
Okay. It looks fun to use.
They have the one that can hook up to like a monitor. Those ones are pretty cool. But I also like just the handheld ones. Sometimes.
Yeah, the
have
loop,
you
mean?
Like
yeah.
a magnifying glass? Okay.
Where it's just a really small one and it zooms in maybe 50, 100, maybe 200 times or something. But you can put it in your pocket. And so you can just quickly, when you're out in the field or
need
in your
it.
Garden, and you just need to zoom in on a bug or a leaf.
I want that just for fun.
Need
it's cool.
It.
It's so cool.
Is it Christmas yet?
I was just going to say, I think we're past Christmas. It would have been a great stocking stuffer for the gardener.
Next year.
Yeah, for sure. Or just get it for yourself, because those are just cool. I mean,
you know, it's fun because besides the people at Green Acres, the other thing that I always do is I have tables and events. And sometimes people aren't sure what to make of me when they walk by. It says, got garden questions, get answers. So I'll just start bringing them in. Hey, how did your garden go? And the minute you start asking these questions, people are bringing out their pictures. They're bringing out samples. They've got pictures of their dogs, their kids, their grandkids, and 500 of their lawn.
Yeah.
And they're ready to talk about it.
What's that dead spot right there?
Yeah. They just needed the opportunity. And it's great because, you know, like I said, I'm just somebody there behind a table. You ask them the right question. How was your garden? Did you have a garden? Yeah. How'd it go? Well,
let me tell you about it. So have you
great.
Heard
this
some
wasn't.
Weird, wacky questions or stories? Like what comes to mind if you think about something weird you heard?
So something that's been weird is trying to identify what caused a problem. And I'm talking about the animal kingdom. And I actually can identify the animal that did it based on the bite marks, the tear marks, the hoof prints, the footprints, whether or not they're claws, nails, and their scat.
Yeah.
Yep.
Some
what
frass.
They left behind. And you'll find out some amazing creatures that you didn't quite realize were going to be there.
Some of that sounded like deer.
Yeah, deer. But it's fun to, like, what is it? Is it skunks, the ones that leave where you can see all the bits of fruit and stuff still in it?
Oh,
or
yeah.
is that possums? All of a sudden I forgot.
What, are they not chewing their food?
Well, it goes, anywho.
that's getting gross.
No, that's where my blackberries went.
All right, boys. Come on now.
Okay.
But you bring up a good point, though, because I think those are I'm sure you hear a lot of questions. Hey, the garden was, you know, it was a gangbusters years. We had more, you know, harvest than we could handle, or we had some problems. We had some setbacks. And
right.
so I think it's nice talking with those people to hear what's working, what's not working. And I think one of the things that really helps people be successful is heading off a problem before it becomes a major problem, either by prevention or just noticing it as it's starting to. And so notice, like, I think having a knowledge of the things you just mentioned, like the bite marks and footprints and
yeah.
just all the damage or whatever signs that you see. I think the more that you can put those together,
yes.
it lets you listen a little bit more to your plants, quote unquote, listen. Like, yes, you're seeing it, but it's really, I guess, makes it kind of, it'll up your garden level just all the more when you go, oh, that's a looper moth. Oh, we got aphids right. and whitefly. Oh, we got the scale.
Or that's gopher, that's things, vole. You know, moles, based on voles. The based on the entrance, based on the dirt they threw around. Yeah.
Oh yeah, I haven't helped anybody who has ground squirrels. That is the worst.
So ground squirrels are exceptionally active, and it's really hard to take. But this year has been incredible because last spring was incredible. We had 5 months of rain, which meant everything had 5 extra months of health and water and food to make big families. And they're tromping through your yard. So a lot of the advice, even though there's a lot of great advice, some of it really boils down to you gotta just get through it. It won't be like that next year. We've never had a 5 month rain like that.
It was awesome.
Memory, right?
Are we going to have another wet year, you think?
They're saying probably not quite as wet.
I'll take then, almost as wet, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. As long as there's a bunch of snow with it up in the mountains,
yeah.
we are good. But diseases were up, insects were up, critters were up, varmints were up, deer.
Oh,
and
dear.
Deer. And I know better. I put in a new orchard. Not a new orchard. I mean, it was like
six
trees, right?
We saw your citrus trees. Yeah.
Yep. And nobody's touched the citrus. That's always been fine. But the fruit trees took a huge beating. I'd painted the trunks to protect from sunburn and to protect from boring insects. And I set up the drip system and I set up the mulch. I was so proud of myself. The one thing I forgot was fencing. To keep the deer away from it.
Literally have to stop them from even getting close. Huh?
Right. So when you look at the university or you find out technical information, this is called exclusion.
Just physical barrier. Just physical, exclude them.
Yep. You've just got to do it. And like for gophers, moles, and voles, the exclusion for them is the, it looks like chain mail, and you plant the root zone, the root ball down in the soil.
That's serious.
It is, because there's just no other way sometimes. Wow. You've got to give that plant a chance to get going and get a root zone. So I'm going to have to try again with the cherry trees this year.
Mm. Well, we'll come out and help you out.
Thank you.
What are the big like exclusions for like little things, like bugs? I guess there's that sticky stuff, the tanglefoot,
yep.
that's
yes.
one, right?
Yeah, so the tanglefoot is this sticky, sticky stuff. It doesn't have a smell. It doesn't have a taste. I'm pretty sure unless you guys tried it.
It looks like kind of like melted caramel.
Yeah, it looks a lot like what goes on a candied apple.
And just don't eat it.
No, I don't think so. And it goes on the trunk, but not directly on the trunk. It goes on a piece of paper. Otherwise, you're left with goo on the trunk itself. So a piece of paper. And what that stops is insects that are crawling up from the ground from getting into your tree. Number one is
ants.
Stopping ants.
Urgh.
Because ants aren't hurting your tree, but they're bringing in.
Yeah, all the aphids.
Aphids, man. They are trucking them in.
Protecting them.
Yeah.
eating their frass, all their honeydew.
Oh, God, it's just ridiculous. These ants are farming and they're doing animal husbandry of all things. So by putting up that tanglefoot, another great exclusion is like ants in the house is to find out, go outside of the house, find out where the ants are snaking in and put caulk there.
Oh, just straight up.
Caulk it up.
Caulk yeah. it up. So you could spray as many times as you wanted, but if right. you still left the front door open.
Yeah.
So you're closing the front door. You're going to close that. Or things like cockroaches in the garage door with the door handle on it is always 2 to 3 inches off the ground. Get a door sweep.
Yeah, I just added one to our garage door, and it's helped out quite a bit.
The sweep thing, what's that?
So it's a plastic bit. It's kind of flat. It's usually rubberized, so it actually moves as you open and close the front door.
You can add it to the bottom of a door.
That makes sense.
Yep.
I've never seen that in action, though. I've never.
You'll
know
notice it now. You'll notice it. So
that's
when
cool.
you go to the nursery or a hardware store, getting caulk. Getting the door sweep. Another great one is the vents on your house where you have air vents under the soffit or down at the ground level. You're looking for mesh, but you need mesh that it's 1/4 inch or smaller.
Tiny. Yeah.
If it's any bigger, everybody's walking through.
Yeah, I don't mean to freak you out, but I have had rat issue in the attic here.
Right. And, so you've got to do that mesh. You've and quarter inch, if you just look at your pinky, you want it to be at least that small. The other thing you do to stop rats, mice, squirrels from getting into the house.
Snakes.
Yeah, no.
No, no, okay, okay, okay.
Snakes will help.
I've watched too many cartoons.
Make sure that the branches aren't touching your house and touching the fence.
I went and did that. I had to get up on my roof, though. Mm-hmm. And I actually had to borrow some tools from my neighbor. Thank you, neighbor. Yeah. But yeah, he hooked me up with some big bad boy
loppers.
Loppers,
oh,
yeah.
Oh, great.
And I went to town on that tree and got everything away from touching. And I have the avocado tree here, and it was hanging down.
Yeah.
It was a lot of contact. So I cleaned that up, and the population is getting under control now. We're almost through with the pest issue, but it's been a battle.
That reduces their ability just to treat your house like a highway where there's coming and going.
It's just a fun zone for them. They're just having a blast. You got to make them miserable. Another easy way to make it guys miserable is when ants come in the house. We talked about the caulk up the on the siding. Yeah. The other thing is when you have mulch and plant litter touching your home, you need to pull it back away from the home. Fingertip to wrist spacing, clear naked dirt. When you have mulch and plant litter touching your home, you've given termites, ants, silverfish, cockroaches, everybody a 4-inch leg up into your home. So by pulling it back just by 6 inches around your home and around your plants, get it away from there, you have made a huge impact on the number of insects that could find their way into your plants and into your home.
Well, another thing that I like as a barrier that I've seen people use, and sometimes you see this in like small scale farming, but even at home gardens, and we've talked about this before a little bit, are like the row covers.
Yeah.
Like it's almost like frost fabric.
It is. Exactly.
It lets light and air flow through a bit. And you can, so if you have an area where you don't want to be spraying anything, even BT isn't your game, but you don't want to have those little cabbage moths, and, you know, laying their eggs and little caterpillars.
Grasshoppers.
Oh, yeah. And you literally just cover them up with this fabric, and then you can make nice long, it's great for long rows. You make these little tunnels, and you can just tent it right over them. And it's like they have this nice little protective barrier. It can be good against, you know, some extreme weather events as well. But it's just a nice physical barrier to exclude some critters.
I think we saw that in action at Angel Wing Farm.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yep,
Was it
Cisco Darling.
That's right.
Or Cisco.
Cisco.
Yeah, Cisco Darling. Yeah. Yes.
Cisco was doing
amazing.
That.
Absolutely, yeah. And it's because she was out there. I mean, they're on the hinterlands of our region right here. And it's beautiful out there. But she has the greenhouse that's all controlled. But outside the greenhouse, there was raised beds galore, and so she was doing a lot to try to protect. I mean, they have wild rabbits and rodents and every creature that you could think of. They're kind of dealing with, and so instead of spraying or trapping or fumigating, it's just make it more difficult for them to go out and just nibble on everything.
Sure. So we're talking about excluding bugs, but I forget what the number is, Julie. You taught me, I think it's 90 or more percent of the bugs are actually beneficial.
Yeah.
So remind me again, how do we actually attract the good bugs? Because I know this is something that you're passionate about.
Yeah. The first way to attract them is to stop being annoyed when you see an insect. Okay. You can't have ladybugs unless they have something to eat. So you've got to have aphids. You've got to have all these things.
You've got to have aphids.
You do. If there are no aphids, you will not have ladybugs. It's just a fact. Absolute fact. So if 90, 95%, up to 98% of all the insects that are out there are beneficial, we've got to really change our mindset. Is that really damage? Is that bug really a problem? And making a distinction between insects and pests. So all insects are probably just fine. They've got a job out there to do. But if things are getting out of hand, then we need to find out why. And that's all about integrated pest management. How did we leave the front door open? If aphids are supposed to be a problem for 2 weeks, why are they being a problem all year? Anything that's supposed to be a pest should only be a pest for about 2 weeks. If it's longer than that, we need to look at why. So the best way to invite beneficial insects, and these are guys that are going to pollinate, these are guys that are going to eat your bad guys, eat your pests, is you've got to allow the insects to be there in the first place. The second thing is when you choose a pesticide, you're looking for something that's going to target that guy. Sometimes the labels say handles 500 insects, but you came in for aphids. Well, why are you going in all Rambo? Handle the aphids.
Hey. Give me some aphids, huh?
Give me some aphids,
that's not
right?
Bad.
You know, they just go in guns blazing, right? It's like, right. No, we're going to handle the aphids.
Take it easy.
Find the criminal. Right. Take care of the criminal. Just because I'm science-based doesn't mean I'm not out for mass killing. I absolutely am. I just want to get the right guy.
If
not
there's a lot of
all
them.
The neighbors.
Okay,
yeah?
Got it.
I just got to get that guy.
Sure. Okay, that's good advice. What about for indoor plants? Like, what are the big offenders for that? Because now I'm starting to go pretty heavy on my indoor plants. I don't have any issues, but I know it's pretty common. I saw it a lot at my last place. Whitefly.
Yep.
And
it's another F word.
Yep.
What? Fungus?
Fungus gnats.
Yeah, I was just going to say the fungus gnats, yeah.
Yeah.
So is it neem oil? Is that your go-to? No?
Not for the gnats.
No?
No.
What is it?
So if you go back to why you have fungus gnats, it tells me that you are watering your plants constantly and never letting that top quarter inch of soil get dry. Those fungus gnats are breeding in that top quarter, half inch maybe. If you let that soil get dry in between waterings, you've killed the fungus gnats.
That's it.
Yes.
So I don't have to remove like that top layer or something to get rid of them.
No, you don't.
Just let it dry out.
Just let it dry out. If things, some plants though require constant moisture and you've got all kinds of reasons for fungus gnats to be there and you can't change that. Maybe you've got somebody in the house that just loves to water the plants. Maybe it's a something that just needs it all the time. And then what you're looking for is a product goes under the name of Mosquito Bits.
Mosquito Bits.
And
that was my nickname in high school.
Yeah. And the active ingredient in that is Bacillus thuringiensis, right?
Yeah.
Did I get
I
it right?
I even brought it up last week. I was like, I'm like, oh, I got a scientist here. Please tell me the exact, you know, pronunciation.
But then he dropped another one on you. Do you remember the other name?
It was like Bacillus
something
else.
It was B-A.
That's the other product we were talking about earlier. But with this Bacillus thuringiensis, it is also the same guy that's going to handle mosquitoes for you.
Okay.
And what it does is it kills the larval form. So when you use this BT, you're going to see a few grown-ups for a few days, but you've interrupted the life cycle.
And how do you apply it to your indoor plants?
The instructions on the back talk about putting it on top of the soil and activating it with water, I think.
And that's the mosquito bits?
Yeah.
Yep.
So it comes in two forms, by the way. One is mosquito bits where the BT is impregnated onto bits of what looks like vermiculite. The other form is where it comes in a silverish donut with a hole. That
not
is the stuff.
Not to be eaten, Austin.
Okay.
Get away from the BT, man. And it's going to, that stuff will fully decompose. So you can put it in anything where you have a motor running. So your water features. It's not going to gum up the work.
Oh, that's good.
So you can get it in two different kinds.
Mosquito bits, the name is still throwing me. Why is it called that? Well, that's such a weird name.
It worked. Look at you repeat it.
Yeah.
But does it have anything to do with bits of mosquito?
I think it's little
yes.
Yeah.
Oh,
no.
It does?
No.
No. It comes in little bits, and it is designed to target mosquitoes.
Gotcha.
But it also targets fungus gnats.
Okay. Larval form takes them right out.
You see it a lot with people's fountains and things like that, water features outside, and then other folks are like, hey, I got the same problem inside with fungus gnats. Hey, try this out. And it actually does work pretty well.
Yep.
Okay.
I've seen some people, they've done a top mulch of like rice hulls.
Mm-hmm.
On some of their house plants to maybe create a drier layer.
Sure.
You know, I think there's a lot of different approaches out there, but
they put rice on it to dry it out like
rice
you do your
holes.
Phone?
The
holes. No, the paper that was on the outside edge.
It's kind of like used as a mulch, and it's kind of light and papery. And
I did use it as a mulch one year.
How did that look?
It looked great, but unfortunately I did it in a walkway. And you can't walk on the stuff. It's like walking on sand. It just kind of moves around. So it goes in the flower bed or your – it's not a walkway.
I feel like
mulch.
It would break down pretty quickly. Like it would
– It did. And it was better than straw or hay where you put out the sheaves of it. This stuff moved around a little bit better. So the weeds never got a foothold. They were always weak.
Kind of not shallow rooted.
Yep.
They did sprout and germinate.
And they died right away. So that was great. But in a walkway, and I also have a habit of putting mulch down ridiculously thick. So it was really spongy. The rice holes was really spongy.
Be good for my joints. Need some of that in my house.
There it is.
Now, Julie, I'd be curious to ask you, just because you get the opportunity to speak with so many different types of plant people from really actually kind of like us here.
Yeah.
But you're doing it on like the day to day. You're deep in the trenches and you're out there, you know, educating not just customers, but people that actually work in the industry. What do you think are some of the commonalities of people that are maybe being successful in their gardens and the people that are maybe could have a little more success in the garden? What are they doing to be successful that maybe some of us maybe aren't?
The first thing that comes to mind is a lot of times you're very successful with your vegetable garden the very first year. And you think, I am such a pro, right? And then the next year, right,
a lot of energy.
And then you get that sophomore slump, right? It's just not doing as well. So sometimes we're just fooled a little bit. But in general, the people that are most successful have concentrated on the part of the plant that they're after. So if you're looking at rose bushes, you're not looking at the leaves a whole lot. You're not looking at the signs of disease maybe or a little bit of insect damage. You're looking at the bloom itself. If you're looking at a tomato plant, you're looking at the fruit. So you're not always looking at the whole thing. There's an acceptance level that nothing's going to be airbrushed out in your yard. It's all going to look the way it looks. And don't look that closely anymore. Just
I like
don't.
That advice.
There are sometimes you just have to tell people from now on you're allowed to look at your plant from 3 feet back.
Yeah. Well, I think that's a great point because then maybe success to – everybody is a little bit different.
Yep.
Because you'll have some people who are, you know, like, hey, this is, you know, the sky is falling. And you go, well, let me see the picture. And you go, oh, you have a beautiful landscape.
It's like, you have a beautiful landscape. Or they saw some damage on their leaves and they come in and I say, you know what? That happened 3 weeks ago and it's all old damage. Everything's coming back just fine. And they're like, oh.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. Take a deep sigh.
We get so caught up in the micro. It's so good to take a step back, look at that macro. I mean, you were just doing it earlier when you were talking about the weather. We had a wet year. This coming year is going to be a little different. You're looking at the big picture all the time, it seems like.
Yeah. And you narrow in when you have to. But usually it's all about, you know, that was that spring. That was that hot, hot day. That damage. Do you remember the hail we had 3 weeks ago? That's what you're seeing. Your leaves got banged up. It's not a big deal. Think of it like acne. Everything's all right. It's a lot of telling people we're going to be okay. And yes, we see that damage, but if the new damage at the top, the new plant coming out at the top looks okay, you're okay, man.
Yeah.
You're okay.
Yeah, it's fun here to listen to people and their success stories or what plants they love. And
yeah.
It's kind of fun to hear like, oh, that plant. Oh, I can't grow that plant.
Right.
It's fun to hear that, but then that kind of not irritates me, but it kind of gets me fired up because I'm like, no, you can grow that. You
yeah.
just weren't successful one time. I put a video out on the YouTube long time ago, and it was about bringing back a kind of like a dying spider plant.
Okay.
You know, it was actually one I kind of killed on purpose because I wanted to make a video of one that was struggling. So I put it on the side of my house, and it looked gone. It was toast. The leaves were flat. It looked so bad.
Say your prayer, move on.
And I basically, you know, repotted it, some fresh soil, watered it, and then kind of filmed its rejuvenation process. And it made me look like, oh my God, this guy's a great grower. Really, I just watered it and gave it some fresh soil and clipped off some of the dead growth.
Right.
And I see in the comments section, which I don't get a lot of comments, right? My channel's tiny. It's mosquito bit channel. It's mosquito sized. But it was great because I saw this person and they're like, I don't know how you grew those spider plants. I can't grow them. Like this video is nuts because I have such a hard time growing them. I just can't. I can't grow them. They don't work for me. You know, that's a very difficult plant. And I remember thinking like, I didn't have a response because I remember thinking like, this is actually a very easy plant to grow. And so everybody has their own kind of perspective and maybe
they bring
our baggage with us. But I think the point I'm trying to make is don't let a past failure or lack of success dictate what you're going to do moving forward. Some of the people that I've noticed who are successful in their gardens aren't perfect gardeners. They're not even great gardeners per se. But they're people that are willing to kind of roll with the punches and then learn from what they've done, whether it was good or bad. And then they move forward and then hopefully they're eager to go learn more. And that, to me, those are the people that have continued success where it's never perfect. Things don't always work out and they understand that and they just push forward, learn from it, maybe choose some new plants in the future, but are always willing to kind of dive back in and give it another shot. And so I would highly recommend that to our listeners. Don't get discouraged if you've had, you know, a lack of success in the past with whatever your indoors, your outdoors, edible or ornamental. Just keep pushing forward. Learn from what you did that worked and maybe reach on. No, don't just listen to us. Go out and talk to other people who garden and grow around you. There's so many skilled, intelligent, passionate people with solid green thumbs out there, and they might just be your neighbor.
Yes.
And so get out there, talk with people, And then, like I said, don't let those past moments discourage you from future success.
Because a lot of times they are just moments.
Yeah.
And if you just wait, you know, the temperature is going to change by 5 degrees. The moisture level is going to change by 3%. Everything looks completely different. But sometimes you do have to give yourself permission. If you've been spending all your worrying power on that plant, if you've given that plant a godfather in your will, if you've, you know, just spent all your time and money on this thing, it might be time to call it. But before you shovel prune the thing, you might want to consider finding out what it really needs. And maybe it belongs on the north side of your house and you had it on the south side.
It could be as simple as that.
That's right. And during the winter is a great time to go ahead and move those plants. They tend to be less active. It's not as easy to upset them and hurt them. They're not going to throw fits the way they would if they were full of cherries and you tried
so
to move
emotional.
It. Oh, it's ridiculous. They're toddlers, right? It's like seeing a toddler in the middle of the store and dad said, you can't have that toy. But as soon as you start talking tough to your plant,
yeah.
I hear you're upset and I can't do anything about it. Let's wait till tomorrow. It yeah. might be okay.
Sure.
So, well, this is great. This motivation for moving ahead. I'd love to hear you guys' goals for your gardens or just anything in your life this coming year. I know you're expecting.
I am, yeah. But I'm curious. I want to let Julie go first. I'm really curious to hear how our water, our world, and how her world will be in the upcoming year.
You know, what should happen? I think I should learn to calm down a little bit. For all the advice I give for folks to just take a deep breath, those that can't do, teach maybe. Maybe I should try this deep breathing thing a little bit more. I've been so disappointed in my garden, and I think I talked about that a couple times with you. It was just a horrible year out there. The tomatoes were stinky. I couldn't even get zucchini. It was a disaster.
Well, if you can't grow zucchini, man, that was a bad summer.
That was bad.
Those are like the weed of the vegetable garden.
Right, kudzu of our area, yeah, right? Yeah.
What happened to your zucchini?
It turns out that they were just puny. The fruit was not fully pollinated. The leaves were not looking vibrant.
That's the worst when you see one forming and then all of a sudden it just stops. And then kind of like, you're like, wait, what happened? And it didn't fully get pollinated properly.
So I started digging around in there. And what I found out is, and I knew this and I forgot, but I've got oak trees and it looked like they were way over there. But their root zones extend way past the canopy. So I've got a lot of roots in there. And I'm just going to have to find a new place. Yeah, a new area of the yard.
Yeah.
That's it.
Or grow upwards. We'll get you some raised beds.
Vertical.
Yeah.
Really raised beds.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay,
good. What do you think?
I think I'm willing to do that. I think that would be great. I should give that a go. Definitely.
Zucchini will be fine in there, right?
Oh, gosh, yeah.
Oh, for sure. What about you, Austin? How are you feeling for the upcoming year?
Well, I had a rocky year, I think, because, I had a great spring garden. I had a lot going on, and it was a blast. And I did tomatoes again and loved it. I did way better this time because I didn't have like 10 in the same grouping.
Yes, you spaced them out. Yeah.
You helped me with that because I didn't realize.
That those tiny little seedlings each want to be like a 7-foot monster by the end of the summer.
So you had to thin them out? He helped you with that?
Well, I just did better when I planted it. I knew not to. Because when I started by seed, I must have gotten a little crazy
you
with
just didn't
it.
Thin
well,
them
they're
out.
They're tiny seeds too, like with radishes, right? You can have 5,000 in this one square inch. It happens.
Well, radish—that's a great way to kind of bring yourself back to success in the garden. So if you need a quick win, just plant some radish seeds. Because in about 3 to 4 weeks, you're going to be eating radish.
Yes, so it's amazing.
Well, so I had that, and that was great success. Lots of growth, lots of flowers I put in too that were beautiful. But then I moved, and I've got this new house, and there's a lot of issues with growing here with the lack of light.
So many mature trees around
you. Yeah, the canopy here is no joke.
It's like a blessing and a curse.
In the heart of Midtown, and there's lots of old, beautiful trees. It's part of why I love it here. But the way my house is oriented, it's just they're blocking everything. So we'll see what it actually ends up being like in the spring. I haven't seen that season here yet. So maybe it won't be so bad, you know. But I want to try to grow some food, something. Yep. And I don't know what I can get away with just yet. But I'm going to try a few things Definitely some herbs. I want to grow some stuff for making cocktails.
Those just do just really read, well in
you've
shade,
just read
right?
my mind.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's cooler, it's shadier. The herbs do really well. Yeah.
Well, I thought they still need a lot of sun.
They prefer it, but they'll compared they to like a fruiting vegetable that, you know, like a pepper or zucchini or cucumbers or anything, they really require some intense energy to create all that that food or and all those fruits. But your greens, you know, I think you could get away with some dappled light.
Okay. Because I want to try, and that's my other thing I want to try. I've gotten into the hobby of making cocktails, right? So I want to try to make stuff that can go in a drink, and that could be fun. And I think I could do mint and some other herbs.
Absolutely.
Right?
A word of advice about mint, plant it in a pot.
Yes, for sure.
Otherwise, it's just going to take over like Godzilla.
Oh, let me ask you this.
Okay, yeah, you replace your lawn with it.
I have a planter box in the backyard I'm going to do the herbs in.
Okay.
And in the front yard, over the railing, is a planter box. And it's got succulents in it now. Mm-hmm. You actually brought me some.
Oh, yeah.
I'm actually not a big fan of how they look. So I kind of want to go flowers.
Okay.
And I'm thinking about dropping in some coleus in there now.
I would wait till it gets a little warmer.
Okay.
Personally, but coleus, I love beautiful. I mean, I'd throw some coleus in there. I mean, you got cyclamen, you got pansies, and all types of things that you.
Oh,
could
and
put
I
in
saw
there.
African daisies at the store looked really good.
Some
too.
Osteospermums.
That must have come from somewhere else, though, huh?
This could be dated. I'm thinking a couple weeks ago, this stuff was looking good,
oh,
but
okay.
maybe.
Yeah, because they like the warmth as well. Although they're tolerant, and they like my neighbor has them, and I always just love it as I drive past because they just are dependable. Purples and whites
and
things like that.
And this would show it to the front of, and I want it to look pretty out there. So maybe scratch that. Let's just think in the spring. What do you think is a good, beautiful flower?
Well, going back to your original idea, the best thing to do is go to the nursery now, see what they've got out now. You can always start with just a couple of six packs so you've got it filled up and it's looking great. And then you can start looking at the seeds, looking at the seed packets, finding out what's going to bloom. You can also, there's still bulbs out there.
Yeah.
Right?
Get some on sale.
Get some bulbs, put those in. You could do that at the same time you have some six packs in there of those cute little flowers, whatever's happening right now.
Okay, thanks. Well, my big goal is just basically to put in my darndest effort to grow some food here, see how it goes. And it's kind of being in a new place, it's a new challenge. So I'm going to give it my all. And in the front, I want to pretty it up. So I'll take your advice. Thank you so much.
It's a raised spot. So I would even think when things warm up, man, some potato vine.
Oh.
Where it's like you can get ones that are like neon
green. Look at some pictures. You're going to be blown away.
Darker foliage color. And they would kind of grow up and then kind of dangle off the sides and cascade down. You don't really get a lot of flowers with them, but their foliage is like killer. Like that thriller, filler, spiller.
Yeah.
That would be your spiller. And then you know, that could be on the edges or whatever. And then you have other plants kind of growing in and around them and above them to complement
them. Is it a potato?
They call it a potato vine.
Would trumpet vine work?
Why not? I mean, I'd get bigger, but that's.
Even with the shade?
I guess it'd slow down, yeah, but trumpet vines, I mean.
You've
got to look at that one. It is so underrated. People forget about it, but it is incredible. You're going to love it.
Oh, thank you, guys. Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, Kevin, you're up. So what are you looking forward to?
Gosh, I'm looking forward to hopefully my wife surviving the birth and being fine and healthy and bringing these two boys into the world. And that's I'm looking forward to it. But as far as the gardening and growing, I have a little side of my house where we had a big, massive oak tree in last year. And it got sick these last few years. And then Smud came out and was like, hey, that's near our power lines. It's dead. And I'm like, yeah, that's what I thought too. And so they cut it down. And so now I have a whole area.
Wow.
Not a huge area, maybe, 10 feet wide, 20 feet long, little rectangle right beside my driveway. And I am going to rip it all out. And it's weird. I've all these ideas going. And so it's going to be a hybrid ornamental and edible garden. So
food forest?
Forest? Yeah, in a way. I want to throw some roses in there.
Good.
My mom loved roses. And so we'll get some perennial grasses, things like that, and some beautiful perennials to kind of soften up the curb area. But I also want to sneak in like a fruit tree or two, something small.
Hugelkultur? You've got all that wood.
I could hugelkultur for days.
Oh.
Yeah. So that's where you have these big raised beds and you kind of fill them at first, at least the bottoms, with wood. And then that kind of saves on a lot of soil and it just breaks down slowly. And I've got a lot of oak that they left. Thankfully, they left it, so I'll be splitting it if you need some firewood there, Austin.
Oh, you know, I've been enjoying fireside hangouts at my friend's house. He's got a fireplace. Awesome. And he's got a proper fireplace, right? I don't know how many, if that's rare now or what, but it is just so nice. And he's now ordering wood by the quart. Do you split wood? I'd like to actually try that. No. I've never done it.
It's horrible work.
It's so
it's
difficult.
Absolutely horrible work.
Can I split
work.
Some wood for you?
Yes.
No,
I think it'd be fun.
I'll bring my maul out or whatever, yep. And we'll split it. The oak, it's so dense.
Well, I also made a fireside playlist of music because I was doing this.
Perfect time.
I was inspired to make like a pretty chill, kind of jazzy.
Cozy time.
Late night. Yeah, so it's called Austin's Cozy Winter Fireside Playlist, and it's on Spotify and Apple Music if you want to check it out.
Oh, dude, I certainly will.
Definitely.
I need something good to listen to.
Oh, that's great. Yeah.
Well, I just think, yeah, and so I'm going to just plant it up. Like I said, throw some beautiful flowers in there, but also I want something I can nibble on. So yep. I might do like a miniature peach or nectarine in there, maybe maybe a plum or something good. I have some citrus at my house, so I might just add to the collection.
Cool.
So, I'm looking forward to that. I might even do that actually right after this. I'm on, like right now, as of recording, I'm about to be on winter break for a week or two. So I'm going to put my effort in.
Well, this is the time to go ahead and get those trees. They're bare root. They're starting to come in. And your roses are bare root. They're starting to come in.
That's why I was waiting.
Asparagus. Everything's coming in bare root. Oh, the kiwi vines. I've got plans for you.
Yeah, well, yeah. Are you going to grow some kiwi vines at home? Or?
I want to.
I know.
I really do.
Yours might have the space for it.
Yep. And I've got this great trellis out there where I have picnic tables and things. And you can actually make them grow up high, just like with grapes.
Well, make sure
It'd
you
be
get
so
a pollinator,
cool.
right? You need one male hanging out there with the females. Although I think we did talk about a variety.
That doesn't need that.
That is like self-pollinating.
Right.
I can't recall the varietal name. It was a few
Greg
episodes
will tell
ago.
Us.
Yeah,
Greg
I'm sure Greg.
Greg knows. Yeah,
Gardner Greg will tell us. But that's kind of exciting. But kiwis are awesome. We grew them at this other school gardener with my students, and hundreds. Once they got established, we'd go in there around November, December time and harvest. It was like 300-400 pounds off of five female kiwis.
Woof. It was huge. Oh, yeah, because it is like 1 to 5 with kiwi,
that's
right?
That's what we had.
Okay. It was absolutely
incredible. And so but we had big, strong arbors to hold them up. I think everyone's kind of got their own approach to it. But kiwis, I think, are underrated.
Yep.
They're delicious.
And they're healthy. I was surprised to hear how good they are for you because I thought they were just sweet, sugary goodness. But it turns out they're actually full of vitamins. I didn't know.
Oh, they're fabulous. The first time I saw them being grown, the trellis was only about 5 feet high. So you almost had to duck down a little bit. But I've always loved that feeling of smaller spaces, like trailers. And when I was a kid, I loved boxes. So anything with a trellis and then it fills in with the fruit overhead, the grapes, the kiwis. Also, something new we tried this year or a couple years ago we started was loquat.
Yeah, I have a couple in my backyard.
Wow, if you guys have not tried one, L-O-Q-U-A-T, loquat.
Yeah.
The foliage on this thing, the leaves, they are just intensely green and a little bit furry, a little bit fuzzy.
Yeah, they're very kind of thick, and they have that awesome, like deeply serrated edge.
Yeah.
Like you'll know you're looking at a loquat because it's, I mean, the edge of that leaf is so, I mean, it looks like a jagged knife.
And that fruit, what does it look like? Kind of like an apricot on the outside,
it's like a
but
tiny,
bigger?
Little apricot and a grape had a baby, like the flavor. They're delicious. They have a little pit on the inside, but if I can get my hands on them, I harvest them and I eat them. I share with my neighbors, but the squirrels. Talk about, you know, having your trees
exclusion.
Lead creatures.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they'll come down the oak tree. They'll jump from the oak tree onto the loquats, which are a bit shorter. And I used to see them eating, and I'm like, that's okay. I'll let them have it. But they are delicious.
I talk to a lot of people, like with moles, voles, gopher, squirrels, all these things. And I finally tell them, you know what? Have you ever had a dog? And one man told me just the other day, I said, you might want to consider a dog. Not that the dogs eat them, but just that the dogs are out there enough.
Their presence, yeah.
So, and he said, and he started to get a little sad because he said, you know, our last dog died 8 months ago, and that's when we started having the problems. So now he's like, oh my gosh.
That was it. Huh.
That was it. You never know.
We
so
love
he's
our
looking
animals.
Forward to getting a puppy. He's about ready to think about getting a new dog.
Oh, that's great.
So yeah, you never know.
Wow, cool. Well, it sounds like we've got a lot of great things to look forward to in the next year. I wish Kevin, you the best of luck, and Julie, you as well.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, Austin, we have a lot to look forward to in this coming year. So I think we're going to wrap this up. This is a fun, this was kind of an experiment to see what it'd be like to kind of just sit down, have a chill time, let it go a little long. I had a great time. I had a blast.
This was just wonderful.
Yeah. Thank you, Julie, for coming here, closing out our year in style. It was a blast. Thank you so much.
Thanks for coming wearing the Buttercup costume. Beautiful on you.
Yeah, the
Julie,
barbarian.
The Buttercup barbarian.
So what is a barbarian Buttercup?
It means you're just like a flower warrior.
Okay, I'm
the
in.
Flower warrior princess. Still don't,
yeah, the costume, I'll work on it.
Well, one last thing we could do here. Kevin, you brought in this cucumber vodka. Would you like to, pour a shot and have a cheers? No pressure, Julie.
I'm in.
Okay, you're down.
I'm in.
Let's do it, bud.
Okay, here we go. So this, where'd you find this?
I actually had a coworker give that to me. This is how hard things have been at the school. No, I'm just kidding. But I have a coworker. He's so giving. And he was like, hey, I got something for you. And he's got cucumber in it. So I had to give it to you.
And so we're having our vegetables right now.
Yes, this is for
this
health.
This is food storage. That's what they told us beer was, right? A way to store grain. Absolutely. Whatever.
Yeah, right.
Well, I don't have a backer or anything for you, but let's do a cheers to 2023 and the Green Acres Garden Podcast. Thank you all.
Yes, thank you guys so much.
The sky is not even the limit for a gardener with a dream, and I'm so thankful to be here, guys.
1, 2, 3.
Yum.
Oh, that was delightful.
Very smooth.
I taste the cucumber. That was good.
That's delicious. Well, dude, it's been an awesome year. Austin, thank you so much for being a part of it. I want to thank all of our guests who've come on this year. And, of course, thank you to the listeners for tuning in every week.
Yep.
I hope you enjoy it. It means a lot to me to be able to be part of this. It could end any day, and I would be so grateful just to have been a part of it up to this point. So every episode is just a gift to me. So I love it. I'm so thankful to be here. Like I said, it's been an incredible year. We've talked with so many wonderful people who are as equally in love with plants growing and the effect that it has on themselves and the people around them. It's contagious, and I hope the contagion catches on. If you love gardening, growing plants, spread that to people around you. You never know how big of an effect you might have on someone, even on a small level, maybe brighten their day in that moment, but you might actually just alter the course of someone's life in a positive way. So if you have that passion, please spread it around like wildfire. It is to be not to be kept to ourselves. And until next time, garden friends, I want to say happy gardening to you all, and please
never stop growing.
We'll see you next time, garden friends. Have a great year.
Bye.